It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Alright, so I did something very significant a few weeks ago, and I've been holding off to make sure that that I didn't immediately backtrack. And I think it may be a major milestone in modern society. Like, this will be marked as a point where things changed. I have stopped watching The Simpsons. Yeah. And like, I'm still watching fucking Grimsburg and all the other animated shows, but I've stopped watching The Simpsons.
I have no words for that. I don't even know.
So, it is, we watch a lot of the animated shows because it's such a low bar. Like, they're fine. Like, and they don't have that many of them. You know, they're very short. They're just sitting on Hulu. So, like, I mentioned Grimsburg, which is one of the more recent ones, which is a weird... It's set in this town that's lots of murderers and stuff like that. And we follow this detective who's like a jerk, voiced by John Hamm, and him solving crimes. And it's not great, but it's fine, and it has some lines that crack us up, and it has some voice actors that we like, and you know, it's fine to watch for 20 minutes once a week for, you know, a quarter of the year, because it runs out quick too. We actually really enjoy Crapopolis. We really love Great North and Bob's Burgers. Those are wonderful shows. And now I've been watching The Simpsons. Trish hasn't been watching it, but I'll watch it. For about a year or a season and a half, I don't know. It has become solidly like, I don't find any joke that happens in an episode of The Simpsons funny. And I find a lot of it annoying and frustrating. And I finally realized in watching this season, I'm like, it's now solid. It used to be like, ups and downs, but I'm like, no, I will go entire episodes and not think a single joke is funny. And it just frustrates me. And I was like, you don't enjoy watching this anymore. Try stopping watching it. And I did try, and I have not missed it.
Wow.
So... I think I'm the last one. Apparently, I'm the one who kept getting it to be renewed over and over again. So now that I have stopped, this may be its last season. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But
so, did you leave The Simpsons, or did The Simpsons leave you?
It's rough. What I really hate is... there are people when like an actor I like gets to do a voice bit on there and they never have before, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool for them, except it's not. Like, Kumail got to do a voice on one episode, and I'm like, I feel bad for Kumail because this episode sucked. So hello everyone, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that's still talking about The Simpsons, unless it's a podcast specifically about The Simpsons, which this one is not. So we're the only one in the world fitting that criteria. I am Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 619.
And you might be hearing Addie in the back. I don't know. He was yowling. For those of you just joining us, we have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address. Every once in a while, people write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap they want. The hat, magically, all on its own, forwards the emails to us. We read them. That's it. But the hat hasn't had a lot recently. I was thinking about this the other day. So at this point, our podcast is for like a specific small group of people. And it's small enough that the little idiosyncrasies of their lives really impact the volume of views and emails and stuff that we get. Because I keep going through these because anxiety brain, I'm like, oh, people aren't really listening anymore. And then, oh, no, then they're all back and catching up. And I finally just realized, I'm like, yeah, we're at the point where a person going on vacation, like, significantly changes our numbers, yeah. Slash a person deciding after a few months that have been very busy to catch up on the podcast can significantly change our numbers. And that realization has hopefully helped me to not worry about it, which I don't worry about it a lot anymore, but here we are.
Peter's here talking. We are.
When did we last do a thing? It was, today is Monday, and it was a week ago Friday, right?
I think so.
All right. So how has your week and a half been?
Well, we watched Dead Boy Detectives.
Oh, yeah. Are you done already?
Yeah, because
we still have two episodes left.
I don't think we watched. I can't think of what else we watched.
How did we feel about Dead Boy Detectives?
Oh, it's quite good. I mean, if a person likes, if you liked the other Gaiman show,
The Sandman Show,
I think you'll like this.
I would agree. It is skewed differently. It is slightly more comedic. But yeah, I would say so. I would be surprised to find somebody who really likes one and really doesn't like the other.
I would too. I also observed because they've got this interesting. So the plot moves pretty quickly. It's pretty episodic, as you know. Yeah. And so the plots move pretty quickly. And really, by most measures, too quickly. And yet it doesn't feel that way. So whatever they're doing, they've got a knack of being able to kind of really, in some ways, technically rush the story. But you don't, as the viewer, feel rushed. And I don't know how they do that. Because usually that kind of ruins it, right? It's moving too fast and they skip too many steps in the plot development or whatever. But I mean, I'm noticing how fast it's going, and I'm getting cues that would usually make me feel like it's going too fast, but it doesn't feel too fast. I don't know how they do that.
Yeah, they've just, I mean, it's paced real nice. First couple episodes, we had to do some emotional resetting that I was like, can we not do this dramatic beat again, because we literally did it the previous episode, but that's sadly very common. I will say, this last episode we watched, episode 6 out of 8, after we finished it, I was like, I think more stuff happened in that episode than has happened in the previous five. Like,
yeah.
So there were like 5 different storylines all stretching out
right. In
weird ways. But no, I've been pretty impressed with the pacing. It feels very much like an old school like late 90s early 2000s British genre show, where like there's clearly an arc they're going to deal with, and then they'll tease for other things or whatever, but it feels very self-contained. And when you know you've only got that many episodes, you're really trying, sort of, you got to get that pacing worked out well. I think I've never been bored. Occasionally been frustrated, and some of the things don't hold together perfectly, but that's my issue. There is one character who, as much as I like, I feel is a very played out trope of a character, and so I'm a little annoyed at that, but damned if they don't do it well, and I can't help but enjoy it. But yeah, it's a good time. We like it.
Yeah, thought it was really good. But I don't, it seems like There are other things we've been watching, but I don't really remember. And I think there are things I've already talked about a little bit before about like Outer Range and stuff. Same
Yeah, we
kind of
talked about Outer Range and
stuff.
Dark Matter.
But I so Gaiman is an executive producer on that show.
Yeah.
It's and you know, given that there have been two shows like this, well, I mean, he's done other shows, right? Or, I don't know, was he ever an executive producer on American Gods or the that other one?
I mean, he was showrunner on some of American Gods
Oh, I didn't know that.
and also on Good Omens, I believe.
Okay, well, I didn't see, I only saw a little bit of Good Omens. Maybe I'll get back to it. And I didn't see all of American Gods, although I thought American Gods was okay. These two shows have definitely have the same kind of vibe. I'm not sure American Gods had the same vibe. And do you think Good Omens fits in with this? When Netflix kind of put, well, that doesn't matter. What do you think about Good Omens? Do you think it kind of has the same feel?
A little bit. It's the thing is, it's not a Neil Gaiman story. It's a Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett story. And as much as those guys appreciated each other and I think have a lot of common fans, they're very different. I would again, I mean it, but it's very Gaiman-y. I mean, I would recommend it to people. First season, at least. Second season, I mean, Gaiman's still pretty involved, I think, but second season is sort of an original plot line, whereas first season is the actual original source material. And so people have weird feelings about the second season, including me. I enjoyed it, but I sort of enjoyed it in different ways because it was very different.
Well, these two shows fit together, it seems to me.
Yes,
Then
yes.
they even cross over a little bit, and it's like, yeah, I like this. I mean, if they made more sort of in this vibe, like you get the sense that they're in a shared space or universe or whatever you want to say. If they made more stuff like that and Gaiman was involved and stuff, I think this, you know, you could have several of these that would fit together really well, and there would be success in doing that that I don't think even Marvel or DC has had.
Yeah. I mean, it's Netflix, so they definitely won't, but
Well, they
we
did
are
it with these.
supposedly getting another season of Sandman. It's Netflix, so they'll probably be the last one. And Dead Boy seems to be doing well, but I don't know if it's getting renewed or not.
What other spin-offs could they do? Do you think they would ever dare to do a Lucifer spin-off like they sort of did in the comics? But of course
Well,
that.
they did. Lucifer, played by the same actor, showed up in the Arrowverse one time. Because it's all technically DC.
Oh, I thought Lucifer and the Sandman was played by what's her name?
Yeah, no, sorry. Lucifer in the TV show Lucifer
I know that was
showed up in the Arrowverse.
right. But I mean, if Netflix wanted to make more spin-off shows of their Sandman, and so they wanted to make their own Lucifer thing, would
I
they?
suspect that would be complicated
Okay.
given they have a different show based on the exact same property that just ended like a year ago.
Oh, it didn't end that long ago. I thought the Lucifer TV show ended a long time ago.
Maybe a couple years ago, but no, Netflix bought it and then gave it 2.5 more seasons.
Oh.
I still haven't done the last season. I think that one would be hard. Now, Sandman is full of stuff you can pull from. I mean, that has been pulled from. Dead Boy Detectives, as near as I can tell, was a whole comic series that I wasn't involved in. They start in the Sandman ones, but like the equivalent of Crystal wasn't in Sandman, that at least not that I remember. So I think she came across later. And when you watch the credits for Dead Boy Detectives, it says based on characters by Neil Gaiman and some other dude who I'm guessing helmed the comic series. But yes, Ant-Man is full of, I mean, to the degree that they've had a bunch of spin-off comic series and stuff like that from it.
Sure, but I mean, I think Lucifer is probably
Yeah,
the biggest one.
the Lucifer series ended up having as many issues as the Sandman did. Like it had like 11 trades by the end. And, I don't know. I'll be very curious. Where it appears the next season of Sandman will start in volume 4, which is involves Lucifer in some interesting ways, so it'll be curious to see how that plays out.
I mean, it would be a fun way to get into a lot of different DC property. Like, we could bring in John Constantine again, and we could, bring in maybe some
Also in the
other.
Arrowverse.
Yeah, we could bring in some other magical DC characters.
I
I mean,
think
that
you're
would.
gonna have some copyright issues. People who have
Yeah,
licensed properties and things like that.
probably, but I mean, Sandman. The Sandman series did sort of try to. I mean, wasn't John Constantine in the Sandman series, or at least alluded to in the Sandman series?
Yeah, no, he's one of the early arcs.
Yeah,
He
okay.
was in the TV show.
Yeah.
He helps him find his bag of sand.
Oh, right. So, yeah.
But NBC already did a Constantine show that bombed. Somebody did a Swamp Thing show that, well, a couple of them, but recently did a Swamp Thing show that bombed. I don't know how eager they're going to be, but we'll see.
Except they're having some success and sort of so far, kind of,
Yeah.
I don't know. And maybe if they cast different people, or I don't know.
If there's one thing we have determined over the years is that the mindset of a television or film executive is completely opaque to you.
I
You're always like, but this is like a good show and somebody liked this one, so naturally
I know they're
this
more
is.
risk averse and they
Yeah,
don't.
well, that's the thing. You have more faith in humanity. I take a very Schadenfreude pleasure that's just a warm spot in my heart every time I remember you making the arguments that NFTs could be a healthy, non-exploitive, pro-creativity thing. We had a whole episode on that, and I'm like, oh, that was adorable. Remember that? Oh.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, how was your week and a half or whatever, how long it's
Well,
been?
my back is getting better. It has been a very slow process. It was fucked up enough that I saw my massage therapist and she did work on me such that like the 2 days after were like almost worse. Because she had to push my muscles back into position, but it's slowly getting there. We're at the point now where I pretty much can do anything temporarily, like, but it still hurts to like walk around and things, but I can mostly function. I just don't quite get up straight enough. But I'm seeing her again this Wednesday and probably the following Wednesday, so I think I am getting there. I'm definitely convinced now that I didn't like re-injure something. Like
Okay, good.
it's not a serious thing like that, so that's good. On the video game front, I started Starfield.
Oh, you did. Because you were
I
debating
did.
that last I talked to you. You're good.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I was finally like, I think I'm ready. And so I did it. Probably getting on 10 hours in. It's starting to get its hooks into me a little bit. It's a rough opening. It's not a real exciting opening. And it's just, I mean, you remember your wife has done a bunch of these. Fallout, Elder Scrolls, things like this, and you're really just thrown into it, and like you can go any direction you want, and da 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 da. Yeah, now imagine that's in space. And there's like planet, like it's the entire galaxy. Like you can go between star systems and everything real easy. It's a lot. And I spent a lot of time just sort of like not sure what's up. Also, the shooting is I am very bad at, and there's no like VATS thing or whatever, and so like one thing I couldn't get out of it, but I had to basically finish this one, and I had to try a few times because I just didn't have enough stuff to restore my hit points, and I was like, I still have to murder like three guys in this place or whatever, but there the opportunities for what you can do are huge, like any good Bethesda game. And so I'm trying to sort of mess with that a little bit now. We'll see. We'll see. It's a lot, but it's not super good at drawing you into everything that's going on. Your wife would love it, of course, but you'd need an Xbox for it. So you're out of luck.
Oh, you can't play it on PS5, huh?
No. It's an exclusive. I think you can play it on PC, but that's about it now. Because Microsoft owns Bethesda now. So only for them. All right. Let's talk about some movies. Because I've watched some movies. Some older movies.
Oh.
All right, let me get this one out of the way. We watched The People Under the Stairs. It is a
Don't know that one.
90s Wes Craven joint. It's one of those great old horror movies where like it's very obviously a metaphor, but at the time it came out, it was not, people didn't get that. Candyman is a similar vibe, and it's this young black kid lives in his family's the last one in the low income housing, and the evil white landlords are evicting them to because they want to bulldoze it and make condos or something. And so we end up, there's lots of spooky shit about the rich white people and what's going on in their house and who might be living under their stairs and things like that. And it's real bonkers. It's a real crazy old 90s type horror movie. I don't know who to recommend or not recommend to. Watch the trailer for it, see for yourself. It is one of those movies that like it's not quite what you think it is going in, but yeah, it's pretty straightforward. I don't know that you'd be interested in it, but it's the least interesting one that we did, so this is a tough call. I got two other ones I gotta mention. And I'm trying to decide which is gonna have the most impact. We'll start with Mad Max. We finally watched Mad Max, and I had never seen Mad Max. I've seen Beyond Thunderdome a few times. I saw Road Warrior when I was much younger. Like, I barely remember it, but I've definitely seen it at some point. Never saw the original Mad Max. Have you seen the original Mad Max?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I know you didn't like Fury Road because you hate women and feminism. But we had never seen it, and so we decided to watch it. Mad Max is from 1979, and it for 20 years until Blair Witch Project came out, held the Guinness World Record as the most profitable movie ever. Because on a budget of about 300 to 400,000, it ended up making 100 million worldwide. I don't like it. I do not think it is good. I don't understand why other people think it's good. It's offensively edited. Like they are trying to make sure you don't understand what's happening with the editing. And to be fair, there is a lot of lingo, some of which I think is just Australian. a lot of which is made up for this near future movie. It very much falls into the camp of a lot of 70s, you know, pseudo post-apocalyptic, although the apocalypse hasn't happened in this movie.
It hasn't?
No, which is what threw me, because I knew that the apocalypse hadn't happened yet. I was under the impression that literally the nuclear apocalypse occurs at the very end of this movie.
Mm.
It does not. This movie is set a few years in the future, and society is definitely in a state of kind of serious collapse, but I would not say it is an apocalypse. And then supposedly Road Warrior is a few years later, and now everybody's just out of fossil fuels, and so that's sort of its own apocalypse. And then later by Thunderdome, we talk about like bombs dropping and there was nuclear war and all that, but not till then, which I'm very confused about. It is a very grungy movie. It is not a fun movie. It's a standard 70s like indie flick vibe to it. It's just very rough. There are stretches that are really boring. To its credit, and this is a George Miller thing, the fucking vehicular stunts are pretty awesome. But there's a lot of stuff in between. I don't understand why people love it. It's not the worst movie I've ever seen, but it's not a good movie, in my opinion, at all.
Hmm.
Don't understand it. It's also not very long. It's like an hour and a half. And what I thought was the inciting incident for the movie happens when there's like 15 or 20 minutes left. As I understood the movie before I saw this. Yeah, it's bonkers. But I did learn a fun fact watching it, and as I do checking the IMDb app at this time. The villain in the first Mad Max movie is named Toe Cutter, because they all have names like that. And he's the head of the gang against which Mel Gibson, playing Max Rockatansky, is the character's actual name. Because he doesn't get mad until later in the movie. But anyway, the actor who plays Toe Cutter in this film is the same actor who played Immortan Joe, the head villain of Mad Max Fury Road. That's weird. I don't know how or why they did that, but it's kind of cool. But yeah, not a great movie. All right. This is where we lose listeners. This part. I don't think we got a ton of Mad Max stands out there, but this one's going to be tricky. I finally decided it was time. I needed to watch Stanley Kubrick's Stephen King's The Shining.
Because you never had before.
Because I never had. Initially, because it didn't seem like my kind of movie. And then eventually, because I found out what a flaming asshole of a person Stanley Kubrick was, and how he genuinely contributed heavily to driving Shelley Duvall insane trying to make this movie by doing some very deliberate, awful things to her to try and give the best performance. And then eventually, because it was like The Godfather, stuff like that, where I was like, I know how it goes. I know the story. I know all the beats, whatever. And in fact, what brought it back to my attention was I was watching a video list of movies you only watch once. And most of them were movies that are like, this is so gut-wrenching. You only watch it once. They had The Shining on the list, and they're like, it's because you already know it. Like, the impact it would have had originally is like, you just see it once just to see how it's done. But like, you know, all of these touchstones from other things, you've seen them reused, you've seen them parodied. There's not much point. But I was like, hey, fuck it. Kubrick's dead. Let's watch it. Again, seminal film or whatever. Have you seen The Shining?
Sure, a few times.
All right. All right. It's a well shot movie. It's also edited real bonkers. I definitely don't think it's worth destroying someone's psyche.
No, of course not.
I mean it's very well shot, and I guess if you don't know what's gonna happen at all, there's a lot of stuff that probably built a lot of tension at the time. But, well, actually, okay. Here's my biggest issue with it. You could remove all supernatural element from it. And other than one cross-country flight that Scatman Carruthers takes, the movie would be the same. So it's basically a movie that's like, whose big message is, what if misogyny and psychopathy and other mental illnesses were actually 'cause ghosts? Because that's the problem, is Jack Nicholson is horrifying in this film intentionally. The problem is no aspect of it couldn't just be explained by him just being that kind of guy.
Correct. You're right about that.
And so then it's like, oh, it's a very supernatural movie that really boils down to, no, it's just a movie of an abusive man.
That's always been my thing with it too, is like, it always felt like the supernatural aspects were sort of ad hoc kind of thrown in. Like, this is an exploration of a broken psychology, basically. And then you throw in some supernatural stuff.
Well, and King famously doesn't like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears to be because he thinks there are parts that are sort of from the book that are missing. And I'll bet I know what kind of parts they are.
Yeah.
And I bet they're basically everything that happens before the movie starts.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have no, I mean, other than just reference, like, we don't get hardly any time spent seeing what this family looks like before
yeah.
ghosts.
Yeah.
And what we do see tells me, this is a fucked up family, and this dude was always going to go nuts on them.
Yeah.
Like, they have a horrible, all three of them have a terrible dynamic.
Mm.
And this was just waiting to happen. You did not need ghosts.
No. This. I mean, and Kubrick, in the way he shoots it and the way he unfolds the narrative, really emphasizes the isolation of the place and stuff. It's like, again, like you said, why do you need these supernatural elements? As I have also always kind of observed that.
And it's, I mean, and maybe it's intentional. This is the thing that just bugs me, but it's, there's such poor communication between everyone in that movie. And I guess, I mean, maybe that's sort of the point, because sometimes that's the thing, but it's just one that's really glaring. I'm like, two sentences would have very much changed this entire scene right here and shit like that. But also, I maybe don't love Nicholson's performance. It's a little, I mean, it's very Jack Nicholson, but Jack Nicholson is very much larger than life. And I feel like this character would have been served better to be more grounded and realistic.
Right. I also don't feel like very much sympathy is ever built for this character.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And that might be another thing Stephen King doesn't like. I haven't read his original work, but I presume he, if it's like his other work, he wants everyone to be seen as sort of a victim to cosmic forces in this.
And, well, but I also think the original was a lot about alcoholism.
Oh, yeah,
And like
sure.
the impact that can have, and addiction and all that kind of thing, metaphorically speaking.
Right.
But, and that's, I mean, that's obviously hinted at here, but it's not there. I cannot fault the film craft. It is a very well put together film. Again, other than the confounding editing. And I can't fault the performances in general. Like, again, Jack Nicholson, a little over the top. The kid playing the kid is great. Although, again, logistically, some things about it are strange. The mythology, as it were. I mean, Shelley Duvall definitely looks scared all the time, even when things are going well in the beginning. Like, she definitely looks like her whole life is walking on eggshells. So, good job for eliciting that performance, I guess. I don't know. Again, Kubrick really worked hard. He would scream at her, but also he instructed literally everyone on the cast and crew to basically ostracize her so she would get that sense of feeling very isolated. And yeah, and fucked her up. So fuck that guy. So yeah, I don't. Maybe at the again, maybe at the time, like I can understand if you didn't go into this knowing what it was, there were a lot of very sort of tension building sections. But if you don't know, those are just I get real focused on this when I watch movies now and stuff. When people hold a shot longer than you would expect, why are they doing that? And in general, if I'm out of it enough to be like, why are they doing that? They probably shouldn't be doing that. Because it's usually to build tension or to build, discomfort in some cases, things like that. And most of the great ones are ones where directors just didn't say cut. And
Yeah.
didn't warn anybody they weren't going to say cut and just see what happens.
Yeah.
The end of The Graduate. Although I've recently heard apparently that was not on purpose. They
Oh,
forgot to say cut.
really?
Yeah, but I mean, but then it worked great. And then not that I watched it or want to, but Pearl, the Ty West sequel to X. That will then later the trilogy will come out with Maxine. But Pearl, during the ending, she's like grinning at the camera, and then the end credits roll, and they never cut. And she eventually like has tears streaming down her face and looking increasingly unhinged and stuff, which works really well for the sort of movie it's about. But it's the same sort of thing. But there's a lot of times where I'm just like, and crappy movies, I understand. Crappy movies, it's like, yeah, we got to film this entire thing where they pull out of the driveway and they go down the street because this movie's going to be 45 minutes long if we don't. But then there's other ones where I'm just like, yeah, I guess you really like this shot because you're just holding it here.
Are
Yeah,
you glad you
all right.
watched it though?
I suppose. Yeah.
Would you be more glad that you didn't so you could say, I've never watched that movie?
No.
Such kind of a badge of honor or pride that you avoided
I try
watching it.
not to do that. The only exception I have is Titanic. I'm fiercely proud that I've never seen Titanic. I
Okay.
never will. That movie is, by all accounts, just on every front, not the kind of movie I like. But. So, all right, we got some time to kill, so let me throw these in here. When are you graduating again? Is it 2 weeks from this Friday or is it 1 week from this Friday?
I'm finishing 1 week from this Friday.
All
So
right.
when people see this, 1 week from tomorrow, I'm finishing. Graduation is I mean, it depends on how you look at it. Like, it'll be maybe 4 to 6 weeks before my school officially says, okay, he's finished. He has this Master of Science degree.
All right, well, when is the time when you're taking off to celebrate that you're done?
The time off, I am taking time off. So there's when I finish, which is when people see this a week from tomorrow, and then I'll have another week, and then it's the week following that that I'll be taking off. I don't know if I'm going anywhere or where I'm going. Probably nowhere, but at least I'll have the week off.
All right. Time to time when I should give you your gift, or at least
Well,
tell you about your gift, because I can't give you a gift because we never get together. But anyway, so I don't think I've really talked about this too much, but my YouTube situation has changed slightly. I've kind of gotten into some commentary YouTubers. Specifically Drew Gooden and Danny Gonzalez. And what these are basically people a generation younger than me doing a lot of commentary about people a generation younger than them.
oh.
So I learn a lot now about like TikTok stars and trends and stuff via these YouTube videos that are essentially mocking them and things like that. And I don't know why I got stuck. Well, I do know why. I was originally watching Eddie Burback some because he had some things. Okay, the long version is once I saw a video of somebody saying I went to every single rainforest cafe in the world. Which, to be fair, is one in Canada and then some in the US. So it's not thanks, but over like 30 days or whatever. And it was this road trip that this YouTuber took with another YouTuber friend. And they traveled, they road tripped for like, I think it was like 3 weeks and went to every single rainforest cafe. And it was crazy. And it didn't help that the guy whose video it was didn't particularly like it. But the other guy had like grown up with them and really fascinated by them. So I watched this whole thing. It was funny. And then I found out that the other YouTuber had made his own video of it.
Oh.
So that I watched that, which was fun because it was a very different perspective. And then I kind of ignored all of this. But then the same guy did one where they went to every Margaritaville
Oh.
with the same guy. And it was weird because the situations were sort of flipped. Like the original guy was kind of into Margaritaville and the other one wasn't. Anyway, so I watched this. And in the process, I started watching occasional videos by this guy whose name is Eddie Burback. And also, he's a twin, and he and his twin brother have a different channel where they'll talk about stuff, and that was kind of fun. Anyway, a friend of his is Drew Gooden, who's a different YouTuber. And eventually, YouTube's like, you want to watch one of these? And eventually, I said, yeah. And I really liked him. So I watched a bunch of his stuff. And then I found out they have another friend named Danny Gonzalez. And YouTube's like, you want to watch his stuff? And I was like, sure. And I watched and I really liked his stuff. Then I found out they have another one named Curtis Connor, and I don't like him as well, but I do occasionally watch some of his. Anyway, there's a whole YouTubosphere of these friends and people, and I've gotten into that. Anyway, last night I'm watching a video by Danny Gonzalez about Chris Gaines, famed alter ego of Garth Brooks.
Oh, I don't
Do
know
you
him.
remember this?
No.
All right. This is really funny to me because I was like, oh my God, I haven't thought about that in ages. And then I eventually realized just how long it had been because this video had to begin with Danny essentially Googling to find out who Garth Brooks was. Because Garth Brooks hasn't really been
A thing for a while,
in
yeah.
mainstream culture for quite a while.
Long time,
So
yeah.
he finds this out. But so here's what happened in my world when this occurred. And this occurred somewhere in the aughts, I think. This new musician showed up, a rock star or whatever, named Chris Gaines. And he was sort of around social media and stuff like that. And it was extremely clearly Garth Brooks in a different outfit with a soul patch and a wig. Very clearly so.
Wow, I don't remember this at all.
And they went so far as to Garth Brooks hosted an episode of SNL and the musical guest was Chris Gaines. And Chris Gaines eventually put out an album called Garth Brooks in the Life of Chris Gaines. But he had like a whole backstory. Like you could look him up. He's Australian and he has this whole history of different bands and different experiences he went through and all this stuff.
Australian.
And everybody in the world was like, what are you doing? We this know it's you.
This is weird.
Stop it. And he did. And that's it. And we all went back to our lives.
And he did. Australian? Did he speak with an accent and everything?
I don't think he ever talked. I don't think he was interviewed or anything.
Okay. Okay.
But I do remember he was Australian. And it was just very clearly him. Like, but he had a wig that like kind of covered his face, which was it was funny. But it was just so obviously him. So I got to watch, and this is why I like these YouTube commenters and stuff, because frequently they are a bridge for me, because it is nice to see a millennial YouTuber exploring Gen Z stuff, because they are a bridge for me where I can kind of get the references they're saying and then they'll explain the next one. So it's very useful. So it was really fun to watch somebody who was 5 when this all happened. Actually, now that I think about it, it was 1999 when this happened, so it was earlier. And watch him sort of unpacking it. And it appears that there has never been a clear, exact answer what happened. But what may have happened is a movie was being made that Garth Brooks was starring in, playing the character of an Australian musician named Chris Gaines. And as part of the sort of synergy to it, they created this fake persona and these songs, which he didn't write the songs, he performed them, but some other guys wrote the songs. And then they were going to release an album of all that. And they did all this stuff as cross promotion for this movie that then never got made.
I can't imagine Garth Brooks doing a convincing Australian accent, though, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was going to be in a movie, he'd have to talk. You'd have to hear
But him. Apparently the album sold kind of well. One of the singles hit the Billboard Hot 100, which Garth Brooks himself never did. Like there was some success out of it. And in an interview, I think from last year, he talked about it, and he didn't get, but he talked about how like this apparently was something inside of him that just had to come out. And in fact, there are 5 albums worth of Chris Gaines music in him that have to come out. And this has only been the one, and the other 4 will still have to, even though it's 25 years later.
And this isn't in the country genre, I guess, right? This is
no. That was part of that's kind of how we all guessed it, is this is him reinventing his style, which musicians do sometimes.
Sure.
They don't usually actively pretend to be someone else and do it really poorly.
I think the country genre is a lot less forgiving of like country people love it when rock people come over or R&B people come over, but they hate it when country people leave. And also, rock people sometimes don't like it when their favorite rock or R&B artist crosses over, but many of them do actually kind of think that's
Yeah.
interesting or fun. But country people, they ne I mean,
All right.
you'll never have a
Well,
country fan again if you leave country.
in that case, Garth Brooks apparently knew how desperately he needed his country audience and also thought they were the dumbest people on the planet.
Well, I'm saying it.
Because I cannot stress enough how much not a single living soul, even babies, were fooled by this
I'm not saying you thought
for a
anyone be
second.
I'm not saying you thought anyone would be fooled by it. I'm saying that the whole notion in his mind of becoming a completely different persona might have been inspired by this aspect of you know, when I'm just the whole idea of it, just coming up with the idea of it might have been inspired by the fact that I can't do something that's not country, or you know, I can just see psychologically making that connection of, well, if I completely reinvent myself, you know, or I would have to completely reinvent myself if this was going to be
Australians
successful.
will accept me for who I am.
But I find fans of other genres more open-minded. And country people are open-minded if someone's coming from somewhere else.
Oh
But
yeah.
boy, they don't like it when
They'll all take
someone leaves.
Beyonce, that's for sure.
Yeah. But
It is funny because this Danny Gonzalez video came a couple years after he did something similar. One of his videos that he researched for like 2 months, he created a faux persona and tried to create a viral TikTok song. And mostly what happened there is everybody could tell it was him
Well,
immediately. And it was really kind of interesting because the algorithm put it together first and started sending this new guy's
oh,
stuff to fans of
to his
his because
fans.
the algorithm was like, the people interacting are all fans of Danny. Maybe they're like, so it's really funny how quickly like TikTok figured it out. But yeah, I just watched that one this morning, so yeah, I'm learning a lot about social media these days. It's terrifying.
Well, I'm pretty sure our goatees never fooled anybody either when we were
Who
doing that
they
bit.
were that's because they were audio
Well,
goatees. So you know about Merge Mansion? Speaking of more weird shit I'm learning from millennial commentary YouTubers.
Merge Mansion?
Merge Mansion. It is a mobile game.
No, never heard of it.
It is a mobile game. This is becoming a trend, but Merge Mansion is perhaps the best example of this. You make a mobile game and you do ads that have nothing to do with the gameplay. And you do ads of things that look like it would be cool, but that's not what your actual game is about. And there have actually been some laws set up to change that a little bit. But the latest offshoot of this is you just do really bizarre ads so that people are like, I'm going to see what the hell this is. And there's some really complicated ones. But Merge Mansion, it's just a gardening merge game. Like you inherit a house and you have to clean up different areas and you play merge puzzles to do it. And
What's a merge puzzle?
it is a thing where there's a bunch of shit on a grid and you combine the bits that are the same and they make other things.
Oh.
It's a very common and popular genre of mobile game.
Okay.
That's just the gameplay is you're just like, oh, there's all this crap. We'll combine the ones that are the same and they make bigger ones. And then you can often this is like a crafting mechanism where like, oh, if you combine two pieces of wood, you got a stick, and the stick plus a rock makes an axe, and you know, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
But the ads started getting weird because the ads started with our main character, who's this young woman. In a cab, in a wedding dress, crying, and she shows up at a house and it's burned down. And then she goes to live with her grandma, but her grandma's into some weird shit. Like her grandma like disappears into the hedges and she can't find it. There's one time where she happens to see grandma and grandma looks around and then like jumps down a well. Like grandma's has secrets of some kind. And then there's a night thing and she shows up outside and grandma's being arrested and put in the back of a cop car. And as she's leaving and the granddaughter looks very confused or whatever, grandma holds up one of her hands and something is written on it. And there are different versions of this. There's one where it's written, he is alive. There's one where it's written, you're next. There's weird shit like this. None of this appears to have anything to do with the game. At all. Then they stepped it up.
Mm.
Then they made live action versions of this.
Oh.
In which Grandma was played by Kathy Bates.
Really?
Yes. And it's an ad, and Kathy Bates is out, dressed as Grandma, raking up stuff, and the granddaughter's like, oh, can I help you rake? And she says, sure, there's another rake in the shed. And so then she goes to the shed, and the shed is full of knives. Like curved blade, green handled, like kukri knives or something. Like these are not like utilitarian knives. These are fighting knives. Okay. And there's just a ton of them on the thing. And she, and it's like one of those like magnetic things. And so they're just stuck to, but there's like hundreds of knives. And so she goes back out to Grandma and says, so many knives. Grandma says, yeah. And so little time. And then it pans down, and what she's raking up is mostly just more knives. And that's the end of the ad. And then there's one where, like, she walks in on her grandma burning some documents, and her grandma leaves through a very complex series of secret passages. But they don't work for the longest time because she's right behind her. So she just follows. But they're like all these different statues where like you have to poke the nose of this one or you have to stick your finger. And she just goes through all these secret passages. And eventually she escapes out the back and she can't catch her or whatever. And that's the whole end of that one. There's also one where she goes into a room and sees that grandma who's knitting is actually just a fake, like crocheted stuffed grandma, and grandma's out in the yard burying something. And so she runs out there to get that grandma, and that grandma's just crochet, and she looks up and Kathy Bates is up in the original window. It's just insane. And then they did another series of commercials, making it seem as sort of a like a noir thing where this is like a mystery and we have a new character of this detective who's trying to solve it, but he can't. And they're like, it's hard to tell. There's no smoking gun. There's no body, just a ton of knives and things like this. And like, what's grandma up to? And grandma's no longer played by Kathy Bates in this version.
Hmm.
But the detective, Pedro Pascal.
What? Man,
yeah.
What kind of budget do these people have?
Well, this is the thing. These mobile games make insane amounts of money.
Yeah, I guess.
In the video I watched, which admittedly is from a year ago, because that was the thing. People are talking about, like, what kind of money laundering thing is this? How'd they get Pedro Pascal? And they look it up, and he made, like, $650,000 per episode of The Last of Us. And this company that does Merge Mansion brings in about $10 million a month. Wow. So they're like, yes, they can definitely afford Pedro Pascal. So, God, my phone is blowing up. I wonder what has happened. Okay, I'm just going to look real quick and make sure nobody's dying. I'm going to assume not. All right. Okay. Yeah, so, and you can check this out. If you go to YouTube, there's Merge Mansion has its own channel, and it has all its ads there.
Hmm.
There was also an earlier version of this called Lily's Garden that also had insane ads, but those were at least all animated. So, yeah, this is the thing now. Anyway, we're out of time. We didn't have a lot to talk about, people. This is going to get worse if you don't email. So, because William doesn't do anything. Except now he's a therapist and he's not going to tell us all about his messed up clients because of ethical reasons, whatever. So it's mostly up to me to carry the show, just trying to remember shit that happened. And we all know I ain't good at that. So email. Help us out. TheMagicalTalkingHead@gmail.com. Tell us what you want us to talk about. If it was about the Merge Mansion ads, well, that's a freebie. But otherwise, get on this. Also, tell me I'm wrong about The Shining, about Mad Max, about People Under the Stairs. I thought People Under the Stairs was pretty good. Also, go to the blog, TheMagicalTalkingHead.com, and tell us all those things. Don't usually do it in an email because the timeliness can get confusing. Tell us what you want us to talk about in an email, or what you want to talk about in an email, but then talk about the things we talked about on the blog or in YouTube comments, whatever. Smash that like button. All right. Stay tuned next week when we will be releasing an album called William Wright in the Life of Chris Gaines.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.